Rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thomas Merton wrote, "We are living in a world that is absolutely transparent, and God is shining through it all the time. Gracious God, help us this day to have our spiritual houses in order, so that we will constantly see you shining through all that is about us. And in so doing, see that our lives express and are conduits of your love. May we bring comfort to those around us in need and share the joy of knowing you, our God, with one another. In your holy name we pray. Amen."
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular.
Senator from 23rd.
Mr. President, photographers from the Missouri News Horizon have been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today. And I would also move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved.
You've heard the motion. As many as are the opinion, it shall prevail. Say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my left and over on your right, we've got some folks with the Freedom Scholars, which is a homeschool organization, and they're from Moberly, Missouri. We've got husband and wife team Kelly and Angie Gatz. They've got their two daughters, Tabitha and Haley Gatz, and they've got Jeff Deshaun with them. And I'd ask the body make them feel welcome. And I think up in the gallery, at least they were supposed to be here, maybe they're not up there yet, are the Associated Students of the University of Missouri.
Let's welcome all the guests of the Senator from Boone. Please rise for recognition by the Missouri Senate. Introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions, introduction of bills. Senator from Boone.
Where?
Read the bill.
Senate Bill 384, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to pharmacy benefit managers.
President.
Senator from Lewis.
President, I have a bill.
Send it forward.
No explanation needed.
Read the bill.
Senate Bill 385, introduced by Senator Munslinger, an act relating to an additional admission fee for excursion gambling boat licensees to fund Veterans Commission capital improvements.
Senator from Newton.
President, I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 386, introduced by Senator Richard, an act relating to the registration of motor vehicles.
Senator.
No explanation necessary.
Senator from Christian.
President, I have two bills.
Send them forward. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill 387, introduced by Senator Wasson, an act relating to electronic monitoring of certain offenders.
Senator.
No explanation.
Read Bill number 2.
Senate Bill 388, introduced by Senator Wasson, an act relating to repealing and revising certain state boards, councils, committees, and commissions.
Senator.
No explanation.
Senator from Jefferson.
I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 389, introduced by Senator McKenna, an act relating to concealed carry endorsements for residents of Missouri.
Senator.
This is just some good liberal gun legislation, Mr. President. Thank you.
Senator from 15th. Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 390, introduced by Senator Schmidt et al., an act relating to tax incentives to encourage foreign trade.
Senator?
No further explanation.
Senator from Andrew.
And I have a bill.
Send it forward.
Oh, your kids are sick?
Yeah, my daughter threw up like 2 in the morning.
Read the bill.
Senate Bill 391, introduced by Senator Lager, an act relating to teacher evaluation.
Senator?
No explanation.
Senator from 2nd.
Bill?
Send your bill forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 392, introduced by Senator Roop, an act relating to the regulation of surplus lines insurance.
Senator. Yeah, Mr. President, this might be the most boring bill I've ever filed. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Senator. Senator from Lawrence.
I have 3 bills and I would waive explanation.
Send your legislative package forward, Senator. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill 393, introduced by Senator Goodman, an act relating to the Family Care Safety Registry.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 394, introduced by Senator Goodman, an act relating to human trafficking.
Read the third bill.
Senate Bill 395, introduced by Senator Goodman, an act relating to bail bond regulations.
Senator from Lawrence.
You're still in my bills. I do have explanation. Thank you.
Senator from the 5th.
Mr. President, I have 1 bill.
Send your bill forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 396, introduced by Senator Wright Jones, an act relating to the Compassionate Assistance for Rape Emergencies Act.
No explanation is necessary, Mr. President.
Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill and I have no explanation.
Send your bill forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 397, an act relating to fire sprinkler contractor regulation.
Senator from the 8th.
I have 3 bills.
Send your bills forward. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill 398, introduced by Senator Krause, an act relating to polling places.
Explanation necessary.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 399, introduced by Senator Krause, an act relating to the crime of stealing leased or rented property.
Senator, read the third bill.
Senate Bill 400, introduced by Senator Krause, an act relating to the crime of sexual contact with a student.
No explanation necessary.
Was that three? Senator from 24th.
Mr. President, I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 401, introduced by Senator Lamping, an act relating to debt adjusters.
Senator?
No explanation necessary.
Senator from Cole.
Senator, Mr. President, I have a bill.
Send it forward, sir. Read the bill of the senator from Cole.
Senate Bill 402, introduced by Senator Kehoe, an act relating to motor vehicle windshield stickers.
Senator?
No explanation needed. Thank you.
Senator from Franklin.
President, I have a bill.
Send it forward, sir. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 403, introduced by Senator Nieves, an act relating to appeals of decisions by environmental commissions.
Senator?
No explanation. Thank you, Mr. President.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Clay.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills.
Send them forward. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill 404, introduced by Senator Ridgway, an act relating to an election to pay the present value of a deferred annuity.
No explanation necessary.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Read the second bill.
This is the wrong bill. Senate Bill 405, introduced by Senator Ridgway, an act relating to background screening for long-term care providers.
Senator?
Again, the bill is self-explanatory. Thank you.
Great, Senator. Does the senator from Cape?
I have legislation.
Send your bill forward. Read the bill of the senator from Cape Girardeau.
Senate Bill 406, introduced by Senators Crowell and Mayer, an act relating to utilities.
Senator?
No explanation, this.
Further introduction of bills. He has several. Read the next bill.
Senate Bill 407, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to the provision of sufficient funding to continue the MoRx prescription drug program.
Read the third bill.
Senate Bill 408, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to the extension of MoRx prescription drug plan.
No explanation.
He's got more.
Read the fourth bill.
Senate Bill 409, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to state funding for transportation of elementary and secondary pupils.
Thank you, Mr. President. On this bill, I give. Obviously, tax credits are our number one funding priority. So this bill will set up a mechanism to which we will fund education with tax credits so that education funding can increase as tax credits continue to increase. Thank you, Mr. President.
He has this one from seven more. We need to read this one and seven more.
Read the next bill.
Senate Bill 410, introduced by Senator Crowell. An act relating to reciprocal service transfers between the Missouri Department of Transportation and Highway Patrol Employees Retirement System and the Missouri State Employees Retirement System.
No explanation.
Read the next bill.
Senate Bill 411, introduced by Senator Crowell. An act relating to the Missouri Development Finance Board.
No explanation.
Read the next bill.
Senate Bill 412, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to retirement.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill and the next bill, I found our discussions very heartening on Thursday before we left for a weekend recess dealing with the state's pension systems. The next two bills are going to be placeholders, and I hope that I can work with my colleagues that raised issues about our pension systems, both in the education field and our state worker fields, to get necessary reforms that they see moving forward. But as this is March 1st, to be able to keep the options alive and the dialogue going in a continuation to our enlightening conversations on Thursday, I filed this bill and the next one in that context. Thank you, Mr. President.
Read the next bill.
Senate Bill 413, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to retirement.
Senator, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 414, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to retirement.
No explanation.
Read the next bill.
Senate Bill 415, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to the crime of unlawful possession of a firearm.
Mr. President, this bill allows United States prosecuting attorneys, both those confirmed by the Senate and their assistant prosecutors on the federal level, to be able to conceal and carry in the state of Missouri.
Read the next bill from the senator from Keg.
Senate Bill 416, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to the exemptions from certain provisions of the crime of unlawful use of weapons for United States attorneys.
That's the one. Sorry.
And read the final bill of the senator from Cape on March 1st.
Senate Bill 417, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to the Second Injury Fund.
Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President. This eliminates the Second Injury Fund. Thank you.
Introduction of bills. The senator from the... Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please refer House Concurrent Resolution Number 3 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics?
Shall be so referred, sir. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading.
House bills on third reading. The senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 163, with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You have heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body for third reading.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 163, with Senate Committee Substitute be read a third time and finally passed. Mr. President, I move the adoption of a Senate committee substitute, and I have a floor substitute to send forward.
Send it forward, Senator. Has it been distributed?
It has been distributed, and I request a waiver of the reading.
Reading will be waived. Move the adoption.
It is a House bill. Oh, it is a House bill.
Senator,
I move for the adoption of the Senate substitute.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 163 deals with extending the authorization of unemployment benefits. This is a similar piece of legislation that we've done the last 2 years. In fact, when this was brought before the body last year, it passed the Senate unanimously. I think most of us are aware of the unemployment programs that we have in our state. The first 26 weeks, the state of Missouri takes the opportunity to provide for the funding of that. and then the federal program kicks in for several different tiers. What this does, it authorizes the extension of unemployment benefits for the final 20 weeks. There are some rather tight stipulations on folks that can claim unemployment benefits during this time, and it is something that is very similar to what we passed the last 2 years. We have a deadline of this week to get this done, and if not, the state of Missouri will lose some $89 million in unemployment benefits across the state. Be glad to answer any questions, or if not, I renew my motion.
Does any senator wish to be heard? For what purpose is Senator from the first seek recognition?
To inquire the Senator from Johnson.
Does the Senator from Johnson yield?
I do.
He yields. You may inquire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I was afraid somebody wasn't going to get up and ask you about your bill, and that wouldn't seem quite right.
Wouldn't be quite right.
No, no. So this is a bill that we've passed out of this body for the last 2 years?
Correct.
Okay. And it extends the unemployment compensation benefits?
The federal government extended the unemployment benefits for an additional 20 weeks. They did this last fall, and now the state of Missouri actually has to approve doing that. And we, in our state legislation and our state statute, we have a deadline of March the 3rd, which would be the end of this week. And so if we do not act this week, then we will lose those unemployment benefits. Again, those are the last 20 weeks of the unemployment benefits.
And your floor substitute, I know that on the House side that they had added to the bill some bonding authority.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, Senator. On the House floor, they added some language which basically they would remove a 10-year cap on bonding for unemployment financing. And I talked to several colleagues on the Senate floor. They were uncomfortable with that. That basically that we should stay within a 10-year time frame as opposed to having no cap at all. I mean, it could go literally generations. There could be businesses that are no longer even in business by the time that these things are paid for. And so it's felt that by removing that, it's almost a double negative. We're removing the removal of the 10-year cap. So basically the cap will remain the 10 years on that.
And how will that affect our business community in Missouri?
Well, I think one thing that's very important is the state is basically on the hook for the first 26 weeks. And I think that's what most of us are familiar with as far as the employers pay a tax. And then obviously when a person becomes unemployed, then they take funds from that to pay for the unemployment. What we're talking about is the reauthorization of unemployment benefits, which is for that last 20 weeks, which does not come from that same fund. This comes from federal funds, and it is not an additional lug on Missouri businesses, nor on the general revenue of the state.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up. So what we have here is, this is separate from the $789 million that have been borrowed on behalf of the employers of our state. Right?
You're exactly right.
They're on the hook for
789
and counting.
Right.
It's growing. I mean,
that's a bigger number than it was last week or even 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And, of course, a lot of it, Senator, has to do that we have a 9.6% unemployment rate. I mean, if we're down at 4%, I mean, it is a reflection of people who are not working or who are not fully employed.
Right. So this is $81 million is that right?
Yes, the unemployment benefits, $81 million that the federal government has determined will come to the state of Missouri if we approve this.
Okay, and where does that $81 million come from?
I would assume from the general revenue of the United States Treasury.
So is that part of the $1.6 trillion deficit that our federal government is currently running?
I'm not a U.S. congressman nor a U.S. senator, but I would assume that that's where that comes from.
Okay. So what would happen if Missouri didn't take this money?
If Missouri did not take this money, Missouri residents would not receive $81 million in unemployment benefits, and that money would then be distributed among the other states that did decide to take it.
Well, how do we know that they would distribute it to other states? Maybe they just take it off the deficit that they're running.
I can't speak for the federal government, but well, if we don't take it...
I would think that would be an important aspect of this, and this being in front of this body. Do you know if this has any relationship to raising the debt ceiling that they're talking about doing in Washington, D.C.?
This was approved last fall, obviously, so the discussions on raising debt ceiling were not a part of this discussion.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President?
Senator from the first.
Surprise
Hello,
me.
Senator.
You surprised me there, Madam President. Could I inquire the Senator from the Fighting 26th?
Senator from the 26th, do you yield for inquiry?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Is it proper to still consider you the Senator from the Fighting 26th?
I would be honored to be referred by you to me in any way that you see fit, Mr. Senior.
Well,
Senator.
I mean, your predecessor was from the Fighting 26th.
I understand that, but I you may know a little bit about my history. I have to be very careful how I use the word fighting.
Well, that's true. That's a good point, Senator.
I might be a little more comfortable if we didn't use the word fighting when we refer to me.
You know, the Senator from Johnson wasn't able to really address my questions and concerns about what would happen to this $81 million that the federal government sees fit to send to the state of Missouri, or where they got it. What are your thoughts, Senator?
Thoughts are very clear on that, and that is, you know, we hear that all the time, and I hold our colleague, the senator that's handling this legislation, in very high regard, and I appreciate what he's trying to do, but I just, every once in a while, I get a little bit tired of this age-old thing about, well, if we don't take it, they're going to redistribute it to somebody else. And I don't know whether or not that's true. I don't know what they would do with these dollars if we did not take them. Okay, so I cannot say affirmatively, if we don't take them, this is going to happen or that's going to happen or anything like that. But here's what I do know. I know that, when something's wrong, it's wrong. And if we're just going to continue to take money from the federal government, if the federal government's going to just continue to say, okay, well, here's some more candy, here's some more candy, here's some more candy, you know, eventually, well, I think we see where it all goes, is we end up with a federal government that's, you know, trillions of dollars in debt. We're handing off that debt.
How many trillion? How many trillion?
I've lost track. Yeah. I've lost track.
Well, it's 14 trillion.
Yeah.
As far as what's online, I mean, as far as what they, you know, more or less publicize,
right.
You know, I understand that, you know, kind of the offline debt and liability is about 55 trillion.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, and, you know, getting back to what's going to happen if we don't take this 81 million. I mean, I don't know, but here's a silly idea that just popped into my head when I thought of this the other day. As I said, you know, what if it's kind of like we go back to what our parents taught us? You know, if all the other kids were jumping off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? If everybody else was doing something bad, would you do something
bad? So in this case, they're jumping off the bridge. Those are the states, all those states jumping off the bridge in your analogy.
Yeah, just because all the other states are doing it. But, you know, people always wonder what's going to happen with this money if we don't take it. And the bottom line is it doesn't matter. Because if it's not right for us to take it, it's not right for us to take it.
Right.
It doesn't matter what anybody else does. It just absolutely does not matter. And so when we continue to hear this thing about, well, if we don't take it, they're going to give it to somebody else. Okay, good. Let them give it to somebody else. Because, you know, I'd hate to be in this situation, but I think if I was walking by a place of business, you know, the good senator from Cole, he has a business here locally. And if one day they forgot and left all the keys in all the cars on his car lot, with the doors unlocked, they're running, you know, they just left them like that. And then all of a sudden, crowds of people start going by and saying, well, look, these cars are here, the keys are in them, we can just take them, and people are lined up to take these cars. And I know, and I say, well, you know what, if I don't take one of these cars, the guy behind
me
is going
to take it. Right.
Yeah. And so then I justify my taking one of his cars by saying, well, if I don't do it, somebody else will. And I get a little uncomfortable with that type of argument. And
so we're one of 50 states. And just the extension, the 20-week extension that we're talking about here, and the generosity of our federal government's unbelievable, isn't it?
They are a benevolent.
As they borrow money on behalf of my children,
so
grandchildren, great-grandchildren.
We have a benevolent federal government.
$81 million coming just to the state of Missouri.
Yeah.
Senator, I mean, just think about that. What's being sent out to all the other states as we speak? You know, and I don't know what's happening in those states. Maybe, you know, some of our colleagues in those state legislatures are standing on the floor of the Senate today, you know, pondering whether they should do the right thing.
Or
you know, and send this back.
Maybe they're hoping that Missouri won't. on the floors of other senates right now, there could be senators saying, oh, you know what I heard? I heard that those people in Missouri are not going to take it, and maybe we'll get a piece of their action.
Right, right. Hey, Senator, you know, I had an opportunity this week to meet with a couple of my business owners back in the district. And we didn't meet on this issue, but it came up in our discussion. And they said, we wish you wouldn't take that money, that extension, because we're having a hard time, and they're in the adult daycare business, okay? They said, we're having a hard time getting people to come to work for us. Mm-hmm. We have all these opportunities, we have all these positions available, but the people won't come to work because it's a better gig to sit on the couch and get money from the federal government.
You know, it's interesting that you mention that, because I got several emails within the last week or so from business owners, variety of different businesses, that said, you know, what's the deal? I interview people, but literally, I got this communication from business owners. I interview people, offer them a job, and they say no because they'd rather stay on unemployment. Now, certainly that's not the majority. You understand what I'm saying? I'm
sure.
Not saying that everybody who's on unemployment has that attitude, okay?
Right.
But, you know, one of the questions, and I may have to ask the other senator about this, or maybe you know, we talk about if we don't take the $81 million, that Missourians are not going to get this $81 million. I wonder what happens if we don't take this, what happens that's different in the life of a person who's currently receiving unemployment? What does that mean? Do you have that all figured out? If a person is on unemployment right now and we say no to this money, what real difference does that make in that person's
life? My understanding is you have to be have eligibility within the different tiers. So I don't maybe the senator from Johnson has a better idea, you know, on how that affects individual Missourians. I know in the first district, I mean, I know that people are hurting, you know, and I know that I have people that are unemployed in my district, okay? But, you know, it seems to me the people that I've met at their front door, the people that I've served for the last 9 years and from, you know, the South County area, St. Louis, these are hardworking, decent people that play by the rules, you know, go to work, get up and go to work, support their family, pay their taxes, you know, and, you know, are really not looking for handouts from the government, right? And my understanding is the longer somebody stays, you know, kind of chronically unemployed, the tougher it is for them to get back into
Absolutely.
The workplace, is
Absolutely.
My understanding.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't know, Senator. I don't know if there's, you know what's going to happen, and we're going to hear from a number of our colleagues. I'm sure we'll hear from, you know, different groups, different special interest groups that... Again, if we don't take this money, you know, somebody else is going to take it. And, how hard-hearted are you, you know, that, you know, you don't want this $81 million to come to the state of Missouri, okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, I keep thinking about generations to come and the idea that I have a real concern that because of our extravagance, that the next generation and the generation after that are not going to be able to enjoy the type of quality of life that we've been able to enjoy, that our parents were able to enjoy and our grandparents were able to enjoy in this great country, this great republic.
Well, do you know really one of the reasons why we enjoy the best standard of living in the world, one of the reasons that we enjoy, you know, different aspects of the greatness of America? You know, one of the reasons for that is because our ancestors, the people that came before us, the people that actually gave us this great republic that we enjoy today, our grandparents, okay? I remember my grandfather on my dad's side, at a certain point in my life, I owned a small business. I had a full-time job where I worked an average of 70 hours a week. And I remember one time I was complaining to my grandfather, who at that time, he was probably, oh, I don't know, maybe 80 years old, something like that. And I was complaining to my grandfather. I said, I'm so tired, I'm working over 100 hours a week. Now, I thought I was going to get a little bit of sympathy from my grandfather. And if you, I don't know how many people within this body have had grandparents like mine. I bet most of the people in this body, I bet most of the people that are listening have or had grandparents like mine, that worked really, really hard. And you know what, my grandpa, I was complaining. I was about, 26, 27 years old, right? Young, healthy buck. And I'm complaining to my 80-year-old grandpa, I'm working over 100 hours a week. I'm working over 100 hours a week. I'm tired. You know, I thought maybe he'd say, grandson, that's too bad. You know what he said to me? He said, boy, you're lazy. He said, that's nothing. That's what he said to me. He said, you're lazy. 100 hours, big deal. 100 hours a week. You know, I spit at your laziness. You know what I'm saying? That's the attitude that he had. But what happened was, the people that came up before us understood the value of struggle. They understood the value of pain. And so what's happened is, I think a lot of times in our society, we try to remove every bit of pain. We don't want anybody to experience any pain. And so, if we remove pain, what are we going to leave for our kids?
You know, a lot of pain.
What happened to the people that say working 100 hours a week is lazy?
Right.
What happened to those people? We need some more of those people around today, don't we?
Boy, that was the generation that believed in a calling, a vocation. You know, the idea, anything that you did, you know, and the fruit of your labor. I mean, you know, look at our Constitution. It says that it's our responsibility, you know, to protect, you know, the industry of our constituents, right? It says it in Article 1, Section 2 of the Missouri Constitution. You know, that, and as far as I'm concerned, that means we should be good stewards of what's theirs.
Sure.
Okay? And guess what? This federal government, although it thinks it has a printing machine, or I guess it does, okay? They're actually borrowing the money, right? They're just not printing it. They're borrowing the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they are bankrupting, you know, our constituents and their children and their grandchildren by doing this. I mean, what is affecting, you know, the senator from Johnson said, you know, well, the reason that we've racked up are the businesses have racked up all this responsibility. They've had to borrow $790 million that they're going to have to pay back. It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Is because the unemployment rate has been hovering at 9%, what, for the last 2 years? Right? Well, you know, whose fault is that, Senator? Whose fault is that? Wouldn't you say that's the federal government's fault? Their bad decisions, incompetence, I would say their treason, all right, by doing things that are outside of Article 1, Section 8 of our Constitution, United States Constitution.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, hold on. Are you telling me that you're silly enough that you actually expect the federal government to follow the U.S. Constitution? Senator,
I know it's a pipe dream, Senator.
Come on.
I know. I mean,
I admire you for your lofty dreams. The federal government to follow the U.S. Constitution?
and we actually thought, you know, after this last election cycle, we sent all this new young blood down there, all these new outsiders, you know, weren't part of the process, right? And they're going to fix it. They're going to fix Washington, D.C. for us. They're going to go up there and they're going to stop spending money they don't have, right? What do you think, Senator? They're having a hard time. They're having a hard time finding $60 billion worth of cuts.
Yeah. I think we need to give them a little bit of time. The new guys.
Right.
The new guys and gals, I mean, we need to give them a little bit of time. It's the old crusty dusties, I think, that have gotten a cut.
That are dragging their heels?
Yeah.
That could be. You could be right
and
there.
And maybe some of the new ones. I don't know. I just think it's a little early to tell on them. So, anyway.
I wish we were able to... I could have done it. I could have done my homework. Find out what other states are saying about this. What other states are saying, not just about, you know, unemployment extension, you know, education money that you know, it continues to, you know, fall from heaven. You know, I hate to, well, it's not really heaven, is it, that it's falling from? No.
No, it's probably that other place.
Yeah, yeah. But, again, it's one thing after another, Senator, that, you know, we think that they hear the people. And, you know, I think the people have said, start living within your means. Don't spend money you don't have. And now they're going to have a debate soon on whether they should raise the debt ceiling.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whether, you know, so that they can keep government running. Not talk about, you know, what, you know, this bill has an emergency clause on it. You'd think that there would be an emergency clause, you know, that pertains to our entire federal government.
You know, there's an emergency going on
an
here.
An emergency clause for Article 1, Section 8.
Yeah. Yeah. And how that applies. Senator, I don't know what's going to happen here today. I mean, I got plenty of stuff that I want to talk to death as we you know, this session, you know, continues.
Yeah, this probably isn't one of the ones.
I don't know if this is the one. I mean, I don't know what kind, you know, what our colleagues think about this. I mean, but I'll tell you, I've heard from many of my constituents and many people across this state that they are fed up. They're fed up with the federal government. And you know what? They're fed up with this body, you know, saying that it's fiscally conservative.
Yeah.
All right? And saying it's going to live within its means. And then turn around and say, well, it really isn't, you know, we're not supplanting, you know, federal money into our and taking general revenue and spending that one-time money. This is just federal money, and it really, you know, it's not an ongoing program. Well, you know what? I just heard from the senator from Johnson. This is the third year that we've done this. Huh? How do we know it's not an ongoing program?
Well, 3 years.
Huh? You know, I heard in appropriations this week that there are estimates that we might hover around 9.5% unemployment for the next 5 years.
I think it's an ongoing program when it's 10 or more years.
Then it's an ongoing?
Isn't that the way that works?
It's an ongoing program? Well, I don't know, Senator. I don't know how long you want to talk about this.
Well, I don't want to talk about it too long.
Do you have a lunch? Do you have a lunch appointment today?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
But I'd
sure. Yeah. Yeah. You want to get up, Kevin? Kevin, you want to get up?
I think there's a senator that's looking for unanimous consent.
Three senators on the floor. For what purpose does the senator from St. Francis rise?
Madam President, I've asked my colleagues if they would break for a second if I could get permission to introduce a unanimous consent to introduce special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed, Senator.
Thank you. Madam President, on your right and my left, the host of the community college governmental retreat they've had here the last couple days, the Mineral Area College. I want to introduce them. Debbie Lee, their advisor, is up here every year. Jason Underwood, Hannah Kraft, Amy Gixx, Christina Wood, Melissa DeSario, Lee Wilson, Keith Mitchell, an advisor, and Chelsea Wiles. Chelsea Wiles, would you make them feel welcome? I'd appreciate it.
Would the guests of the senator from St. Francis please rise for recognition and welcome by the Missouri Senate? Senator from the 10th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I seek unanimous consent to introduce a very special guest.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Madam President. On my right and your left, I am thrilled to introduce the new Senator-elect, Kiki Curls, the Senator from the 9th District. Please make her welcome.
Please welcome the new Senator-elect. Senator from the 1st, I believe we're on your inquiry. Senator from the 1st, I believe we're on your inquiry. Is that correct?
That is correct, Madam President.
Proceed.
Thank you. Where were we, Senator?
Well, I think we were mentioning that we're not necessarily interested in talking this one to death, but that we would certainly hope.
There may be other things that we're going to be willing to talk about.
Oh, there's going to be stuff that we're going to talk about.
Oh, that's good. I just want to make
sure
that we're on the same page there.
What we're interested in is just trying to appeal to our colleagues that, you know, we don't necessarily need to talk this one to death. What we need to do is just vote the right way.
Yeah.
And say,
and just vote it down,
hey,
huh?
Look, you know, we're tired of taking the benevolent, you know, I'm just tired of the federal government continuing to send us more money and say that do this. And, you know, sooner or later, we just have to say no, because the more we allow government to do for us, the more authority we give them over us.
This is that opium, remember?
Yeah.
I was talking about opium.
Yeah.
Yeah, OPM, other people's money.
OPM, yeah, other people's money. Yeah. But this is free money because we're getting it from the federal government, right? I remember when I served in the House, I remember one of the things that I would hear from my more liberal, you know, colleagues in the House is they'd say, but this is free money. They would say that all the time.
Yeah, it's free money.
It's free money.
Yeah.
It's free money.
Yeah.
Well, what in the world is free money?
You ever hear that old saying, you know how you kill a rat?
I prefer a 22 or...
Yeah, no. You put something sweet in front of it and let it eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat until it explodes.
They do have stuff that does it. That's real.
Yeah.
They have real rat killer that does that. I mean, they just keep eating it.
We just keep eating it, don't we?
And they literally explode.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that on one of those time lapse cameras, you know, on YouTube or something,
YouTube,
where the rat just keeps eating, all of a sudden it explodes.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be very interesting. I'm glad you mentioned that. My chief of staff is here. I need him to make a note that I need to see that on YouTube. I bet somebody on YouTube has either time lapse photography or a video of a rat that eats itself to the point of explosion.
Yeah.
Because I mean that's kind of what we're about to do. Isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah. Well, Senator, thank you for the inquiry. I think I might see what a few of our colleagues have to say about this bill and this issue. I appreciate it. Thanks for the inquiry. Madam President.
Senator from the First.
Could I inquire the Senator from Buchanan?
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield to the Senator from the First?
Yes, I do, Madam President.
He yields. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for yielding. How are you today?
I'm well.
Good. Have you got lunch plans today?
Not really.
No? Just going to be working?
I'm
going to be doing the people's business, right?
That's exactly correct.
Oh, good, good. What do you think of the Senate so far?
I love being in the Senate.
Isn't the Senate great?
Being in the House, I have to tell you.
Isn't the Senate great? You know, on the House side, you know, if we're standing up here and we're talking, we'd have to actually be talking about the bill at hand, wouldn't we, if we were on the House side?
That is a big difference.
We could sit here and talk about anything as long as we want. Couldn't we, Senator?
In the House, whenever you would talk about something else other than the bill, somebody will stand up and raise a point of order and interrupt your train of thought. Even if it tangentially has something to do with the bill.
And that's kind of rude, isn't it, Senator?
I think it's very rude.
That's why it's fun to be in a Senate.
Yes, it is. It's much more fun to be in the Senate.
Fun place to be. Yeah, what do you think about this piece of legislation, Senator?
Well, I have a real problem with incentivizing people not to work more than just, you know, giving them a bridge to find other work to just, you know, support them forever. You know, 99 weeks is 2 years.
Is that what this extension would do? This extension would make it 99 weeks?
My understanding, 99 weeks. 2 years. You know, my problem with it is that it's a perverse incentive in public policy. And we need to put positive incentives. We need to encourage people to go back to work. We need to encourage people to work harder, to produce more. That's the American way. We don't need to give them an incentive not to work by allowing them to, you know, be carried by their fellow citizens for 2 full years. Let's start cutting it back a little bit. I mean, and we've been through the recession. Let's start paring it down a little bit, you know?
Aren't you curious, Senator, that this is another $81 million that the federal government, out of its kindness, you know, and it just decided to send to the state of Missouri? And don't you wonder where they got that money?
I do. And do you know what the word specious means?
Specious.
Specious.
That one might be a little bit over my pay grade.
It's a nice way of saying that it's a lie.
That it's a lie?
That something is a lie. Like, that argument is specious. Well, think about the argument that if we don't take the money, that it will be distributed to other states. So let's just take the case of, say, another state, pick one at random, Kansas. Let's just say that Kansas, you know, they accept the money. So everybody in Kansas that decides not to work that extra 20 weeks, that meets the criteria, they get the money. The federal government takes it and gives it to Kansas. And every other state in the union, all 49 of them, decide to do that. But we don't. What? Is the money that we didn't take, are they going to just give it to the other states? They're already getting it.
They're already getting their share, right?
There's no, we're going to give a little bit more to them and pay all those people at a higher rate. Every single person in every other state that applies still gets the benefit and gets to take the money. Our money isn't distributed among the other states.
So that's the specious.
That's a specious argument.
That's a specious argument.
It is not true. It's just not true.
There's a lot of that goes on, you know, in relation to these federal monies. And I mean, we both sit on Appropriations Committee, right?
Yes, yeah, we do.
And we hear that a lot, you know, the idea that, you know, we're trying to live within our means and trying to give the people of Missouri a government they can afford. And we've got to make tough decisions, you know, don't we? We have to make tough decisions about what are the priorities of the state. And, you know, you ask a question of a department, you know, because the dollars that we work with, Senator, are those general revenue dollars, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you ask the question, well, you know, in this area, you know, could we reduce that general revenue line by X amount, you know, $100,000? And the department comes back and says, you can't do that, Senator. And I said, well, why not? Well, the federal government says you can't. You have to have what they call a maintenance of effort. All right, that, you know, once you spent that much, you got to continue to spend that much.
Well,
you know,
there is no maintenance of effort on this.
Remember, we don't have to talk about, you know, what this bill is
right,
about.
I just
talk about
anything
we want.
But, yeah. You know, the maintenance of effort thing is just enough to drive you crazy because, we need
it's
to
insidious.
Make changes.
There's a good word. It's insidious.
It is insidious. That's another good word.
Yeah.
You know, we need to make changes that incentivize people to do better, to be more responsible. And we can't put those kind of incentives into our public policy because of the maintenance of effort problem. You know, like if we want to, say, require you not to smoke, you know, if we somehow or another required that if you were a smoker that you would have to bear more of your own costs, well, then all of a sudden we're not maintaining our current effort, you know. And that's just one example. There's 1,000 things that we could do that would incentivize people to not rely on their fellow citizens quite as much.
What do you think would happen, Senator? You know, in the my conversation with the senator from the 26th, he talked about just doing the right thing. What do you think would happen if all 50 states, you know, locked arms and said to the federal government, you know, we don't want this opium. We don't want other people's money. You know, we don't want you bankrupting the future of our children and grandchildren. What if we did that as states and we locked arms and we said, you know, it's one thing if through a cooperative effort and sitting on appropriations, you see this, we do have programs where the federal government and the state government works together. All right. I would make the argument that many of those programs the federal government has no business being involved in. Not to say the state shouldn't be doing it and offering those services to their constituents if the General Assembly sees fit. But, you know, I've been called a hypocrite to say, well, you take federal money that comes into different programs, right, that are established. Okay. Well, you know what? I'd like to see some of that undone. But, yeah, we're going to take that money because it's an established program. What we're talking about here are one-time monies and monies that continue to send us further and further into debt to where there's – I don't know if we're going to be able to come back from it, Senator. I don't know if we're going to be able to save this republic. And somebody's got to stand. Somebody's got to start the process.
Somebody must at some point take a stand. And, you know, you have to look at each item on its own merits, and you have to look at things on a case-by-case basis. In this case, this extending these benefits for another 20 weeks is a bad incentive for people to rely on their fellow citizens. And, you know, the thing about it is it's a very controversial concept, but when you ask one citizen to work hard and take money out of his or her pocket and give it to the government, which then is used to pay for another citizen that could work, then what you are doing is enslaving the first person. And you're putting the yoke of oppression onto that person. And we do that all the time. You know, I think that our citizens of our country are proud of all of the things, this network, the safety net that we have for everyone when there is a time of trouble to help them through, to get them over it, to help people who are completely unable. But there has to be a limit somewhere. You know, I would say that if we voted this down, we would start the thinking process. We would set an example for Congress, and we would set an example for the other states to follow our lead. Let's be the leader.
Why shouldn't we be first? Why shouldn't we be first in this effort, Senator?
We should be. You know, we've got to stop feeding the monster. You know, that's what we're doing, is just feeding the federal monster. You know, I keep hearing people say, well, why don't we raise taxes so we can spend more money? Well, every time you take a dollar out of a citizen's pocket, that's a dollar that they can't use to buy a radio or a toothbrush or a cup of coffee or a sweater. That somebody made that radio, that toothbrush. Somebody is brewed up that coffee. Somebody has made that sweater and knitted it. And now somebody somewhere is going to be out of work because you took that dollar out of somebody's pocket. You know? And
right.
And the more money you take out of people's pockets, the less that you're going to have spent on people's jobs.
Yes.
You know, have you heard from anybody who's saying that they're having trouble finding workers to work in their business at this time?
Oh, I have. I have. I just mentioned earlier that I had two business owners from my district that met with me in my district office on Friday that said, you know, they came just to introduce themselves, not really on this issue, okay, but it came up in the course of our conversation. And they said, you know, please don't extend those benefits because it's affecting our businesses. We can't find people to work for us.
Right.
I mean, is that, you know, we got 9.5% unemployment, and we've got people saying, we have jobs, but if you extend that, the people that generally work in our industry will not come back to work. It'll be another 20 weeks.
And you look at the issue, at that situation, from the worker's point of view. And so here is this worker who is laid off from a business, and they are receiving, you know, money. What is it, about $250 a week, maybe?
I don't know,
something
Senator.
Something on that order.
I don't know.
And they have managed to get their expenses down to where they are able to live on that. And they can live on that and not have to get up and go to work every day, you know? And so here's the government saying, take this money, and you have a choice. You can either now go in, you know, go through the process that, which is, a lot of it is ineffective and, you know, making it look like you're looking for a job. And you can continue to take the money and not go to work, or you can go out and bust a gut and go to work for maybe not that much more, even a part-time job. And what would you do in that situation? You can get money here and not work. You can get approximately about the same amount of money here, maybe a little bit more, and go and work and spend your gas to drive to work, punch the time clock, makes your back hurt. You know, I mean, what would you do? You know,
yeah.
If you incentivize something, you get more of it. If you want
right.
people to not work, keep incentivizing them not to work.
You know, it's interesting, Senator. My wife and I have had an experience over the last number of months with our son, who's 17 years old. And through the summer, he's very active, you know, had a couple of different jobs. But when summer ended, he refused to go and look for a job, you know, to support putting gas in his car and paying his insurance and his cell phone bill. So after much effort of trying to convince him this is the right thing to do, we ended up, you know, taking his car away from him and his cell phone. All right? And, you know, he was very angry, you know, and it took about a month, you know, before he understood that we weren't budging, you know, and that he was going to have to go out and he was going to have to get a job, a part-time job. He's still in high school. You know, but he's going to have to be able to support this part of his spending. You know, and, you know, it was interesting in his debate with me on this, you know, he said, we have a disagreement on what it means to provide. Those are his words. You know, he felt that it was my responsibility and his mother's responsibility to provide everything. You know, that it's his right to have it all because he's breathing, right? And he was born to us, so that we have to give him all of this. You know, you kind of think about that when you think about entitlement programs that we have in this country and this idea that we need to continue to extend benefits, you know, that people, you know, because they're breathing, you know, they've got a right, as you mentioned, Senator, to take from somebody else, all right, to take the industry of their labor, all right?
Under penalty of...
Through the government, yeah. Through the government, and then back down. It's a just redistributing wealth, right? And, you know, Senator, I just had a thought. It occurred to me. We don't have this opportunity very often at the beginning or, you know, at this juncture within the session, that we actually have a bill before us that has a deadline. And the deadline is the end of this week. What is today, Senator?
March the 1st. It's the deadline, isn't it?
It's Tuesday. Huh? Is today the deadline?
I think today is the deadline.
Might be an interesting question to ask the senator from Johnson. He said that we have through the end of this week to pass this bill. I don't know if today's the deadline. It might be the end of the week. Is there an emergency clause in this bill, Senator?
I don't know.
I think there is. Yeah.
But, you know, we were talking about the problem of finding people to work at some of the employers in our districts. And an employer in my district also mentioned to me, you know, if we don't pass this, there are going to be some people who, losing their benefits, are some slice of people are now going to start actually looking for a job. They might approach some of the businesses that we've talked about and offer to work, and that might actually come back in the form of increased revenues to the state. So, I mean, yeah.
It's a win-win, isn't it, Senator?
I think
it's a win for that individual because they're working. I mean, which gives somebody, you know, pride.
It's kind of the tough love that you practiced with your children.
Right.
You know, and it works. And I just don't think the right thing to do is to take the money here.
By the way, did I end that story? He found a job yesterday.
You know, it used to be, 26 weeks you could get unemployment?
Only 26 weeks.
I mean, it used to be.
Right.
Now it's like
forever. Which is a half a year, right?
Right.
And now it's close to 2 years.
I mean, it used to be that the employers had to put up all the money. Or, I mean, they had to pay more, you know, FUTA tax in order to fund the unemployment fund. And then as soon as the federal government started paying for it, it relieved the employers of having to take it out of people's paychecks, essentially. And, you know, remove the incentive for employers to complain.
Is it any wonder that employers are kind of sitting on the back bench right now and not creating, investing, to create jobs? You know, with again, all the uncertainty that there is out there, not knowing what government's going to do to them next, right? At all levels, you know, not just the federal government, at all levels. But is there any wonder, you know, that they're just sitting back and taking a wait-and-see attitude, Senator? You know, do you blame them?
No. You know, the senator from Howell just left the chamber a little bit ago, but he has a story that he tells, and you should inquire of him and ask him about it. But he told about knocking on an old gentleman's door, and the older fellow told him that he has horses. Have you heard this story?
I think I have.
Yeah, and he said he had horses, and every day at 5 o'clock he'd go out and feed the horse. And they'd be right there, you know, at 5 o'clock every day to get the food. And then one day he didn't feed them, you know, and they stood around and waited. And then after a while they went out into the pasture and started eating the grass, you know?
Sure.
And, you know, that's what we need to do. We need to teach people to go out and fend for themselves at some point. You know, I think that 26 weeks is reasonable. You know, people, you know, I've got friends who started a mowing business, lately a snow shoveling business, you know, being a handyman. I mean, people can do amazing things if they have the incentive to do it. And some people are so much better off because now they're self-sufficient, even though it's, you know, mowing people's yards or helping them, you know.
I think that's great. They need the incentive and they need the opportunity, right?
Right.
And that's what we have, you know, in America. We have that. Everybody has the same opportunity. Not everybody has the same incentive. And that's what we're talking about here today. You know, do we continue to extend a program that does not give incentive for somebody to get out there and take hold of an opportunity?
Right. And the answer for me is no. I mean, if this bill were to totally eliminate unemployment benefits,
that would be a different story.
That would be different.
Sure.
But this is 99 weeks. For gosh sakes, 2 years is long enough, you know?
Right.
I mean, how about a year and a half? How about let's cut it back to a year now? I mean, at some point, we've got to start saying no. My constituents would want me to say no. They
yeah.
would. I mean, not all of them, but...
you know, you think about... you talk about having a safety net. You mentioned that earlier, and it makes me think about, you know, as these last couple of years is going through the appropriations process in the General Assembly. I think it was 3 years ago, Senator, where we hit kind of a watermark in our budgeting process to where the two items that we budget the most amount for, the most of the people's resources within our $23 billion budget, they did a switch from one to two. Did you know this, Senator? For the history, maybe the history of our state, our number one priority, and you show a priority, thank you, you show a priority, I believe, when you're going through the budget, what you spend the most money on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe through the history of the state, until about 3 years ago, that number one priority was education.
Education.
So anybody that stands up on this floor and asserts that education is our number one priority of this state is putting forth what kind of argument, Senator?
A specious argument.
A specious argument. Because the number one expenditure for the last 3 years has been social services, Senator.
You know,
so we are a generous people. We are a generous people.
We are.
You know, the interesting thing about America, and it was the Tocqueville that said in his book that he wrote back in the 1800s, he said, America is great because she is good. And when she ceases to be good, she'll cease to be great. And I believe when we the people and when we as communities turned over the responsibility of caring for one's neighbor to the government, that we ceased to be good.
To be good. That's exactly correct. You know, I'm worried about this problem of potential hyperinflation. Are you worried about that?
I am worried about that.
I really am worried
about
that.
Yeah, nobody talks about it. I mean,
nobody ever really talks about it that much. But, you know, as we go through our Appropriations Committee hearings, you know, I noticed that all of this federal money, we just go right past it. It's federal dollars. It doesn't really matter. You know, we're in the markup over the years. And, well, this is all federal money. Just go on. Because... you know, if we don't take it, somebody else will get it. You know, you got to take as much federal money as you can. And now two-thirds of our budget is all federal money. And I'm thinking about, you multiply that times all the 50 states.
It's about a third. About a third of our budget is federal, Senator.
Well,
and
I mean,
and then there's other. We have other funds, federal and
right,
then GR. Yeah.
Right. I mean, a third. Yeah. And we never even look at it. We never think about it. We never analyze whether or not this particular line has the right incentives for our people or not. But this bill, this is so clearly a bad incentive that it's easy for me to say, I don't want this one. I worry that our federal government is going to spend so much money and borrow so much money that eventually the people who buy the debt from our federal government won't want to buy it anymore. And the moment that that happens, then we're going to start seeing the federal government printing more and more money. They're already doing it now. It's called quantitative easing, QE2, you know? And, you know, when that happens, prices are going to start to go up. And then we're all, every single person, it's like the hidden tax, the tax that creeps up and destroys the incomes of
everyone. What's going to happen to the buying power of our incomes, as you just mentioned, the savings of those that are retired or preparing to retire? What's going to happen, Senator, when we reach that point? And we will reach it. The bubble will burst. Okay, we saw a little sign of it, you know, over the last couple of years, but this isn't anything.
Well, how long when does it end?
Well, we're guilty of kicking the ball, you know, down, you know, kicking the can down
and
the street.
I feel guilty and I need to stop doing
it. We're all guilty because we've taken the one-time monies, right? We've taken the one-time monies from the federal government in the past. You know, I do. I feel guilty, too. Senator McCaskill said just recently, she said, what are you guys railing against the federal government for? You know, you've taken this money to supplant into your budget, you know, for ongoing expenses before. And she's right. She's right. We're all guilty. Now, does that mean we shouldn't take a stand at some point?
At some point, somebody needs to take a stand and say, we need to quit having the federal government spend money it doesn't have on things that encourage people to not work. That's all this does. Here's some money. Go and, you know, buy your food and pay your bills, but you don't have to work. You know, you don't have to take a job for any less than the one that you had before. You know, no encouragement for efficiency.
So, Senator, what's your thought on this? Are we gonna sit and talk until Thursday afternoon? What do you think?
I don't know.
I think there's some of our other colleagues that want to talk. I mean, you might, you know, want to talk, you know, on the bill. I've got an amendment that I'm going to offer.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
What do you think?
I'd say you should go for it. Thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you, Senator. Madam President.
Senator from the first.
I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
It has not been distributed. It is short. I would ask that it be read, and I would move for its adoption.
Please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Lemke, to amend Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 163, page 25, section B, lines 9 through 15, by striking all of said section from the bill and further amend the title accordingly.
Senator from the first.
Thank you, Madam President. This amendment would simply take off the emergency clause on this piece of legislation. I'd be happy to answer any questions. If not, I renew my motion.
Senator from the first has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Substitute for House Bill 163. Does any senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from Stoddard, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Inquire the maker of the amendment.
Senator from the first, do you yield?
Gladly.
Good morning, Senator.
Senator, how are you?
Well, I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm fantastic.
It's my understanding that you don't like this piece of legislation that's brought before this body.
That's
good. Did I make
Senator.
A good assumption?
That would be a great assumption. What do you think about
In
it?
In fact,
Senator?
that's a fact. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it, okay? Just
All
a little
right.
bit. And your purpose is you're trying to defeat this bill, and you don't want the federal money that's going to come to Missouri. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That will deal with the extension of unemployment claims to Missourians.
Right, it would extend them by 20 weeks, Senator, and it would rack on to the federal overspending on behalf of Missouri by $81 million.
Okay, so we're expected, and I haven't seen the fiscal note, to get $81 million additional dollars for unemployment claims here in Missouri. Is that what you're telling me?
That's correct, Senator.
Okay. All right, so we vote this bill down that the senator from Johnson has brought before this body because it's a House bill, correct? And so we don't get the $81 million. What happens to that $81 million that would come to Missouri and would be distributed to those persons that are unemployed here? Where does that $81 million go?
Back to China.
We borrowed money from China, but it's not going back to China. You know that.
How
I know that.
How do you know, Senator? Do you know what they're going to do with the money,
Senator? You know, it's not going back to China. You know it's not. So where's the $81 million going?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
In other words, you're up here debating the bill, and you don't know what happens to the $81 million?
You know what I do know, Senator?
What do you know?
I know that our federal government this year has spent $1.6 trillion more than it has taken in.
You bet.
All right.
You bet. They spent $3.8 trillion, and we brought in $2.2 trillion.
Right.
Well, there's no disagreement,
right,
Senator, about that. I'm not going to argue that. Okay. You know, I agree that the federal government has overspent egregiously for a number of years. You know, we could go back to 1960. We can go back to 1940. Whatever. I don't really want to debate that out here today.
Why not?
Because I'm going to agree with you that. I agree with you.
Okay.
We've overspent,
all right,
you know, as a federal government. And so you're going to deny this $81 million, and it's going to go back to Washington, and it's going to be distributed to other states, and they're going to pay unemployment claims.
How do we know that?
I know that. I've spoken to the people that know.
Who have you spoken to?
I've talked with the people in Senate Research.
And they know?
They know.
Okay. Well, you know,
it's on the statute and on the book. So, I mean, I just want everybody to understand what's going on here.
Right.
And I agree with you that Washington has spent out of control like a drunken sailor or however you want to describe it. Right? You and I are in agreement on that.
Yeah.
We both agree that they're going to expend $3.8 trillion this year, and we're going to bring in about $2.2 trillion. So at this moment in time, they're about, what's the math come out to?
$1.6 trillion. Overspent
in deficit.
Right.
I don't like that.
Adding on to that $14 trillion.
I don't like that at all.
I don't either.
I agree with
what
you.
Are we
and
do
I
about
support
it?
You. Okay. So we send this $81 million back.
Right.
Now are you going to make an amendment and say, hey, when we send this $81 million back, we don't want it spent. You can't do anything with it. And so better yet, are you going to put an amendment on there, a resolution, say, hey, take this $81 million and use it for deficit reduction?
You know, Senator, I can't, I have no effect through an amendment that I do in this body to have those scoundrels live within their means.
I agree. And the sad thing is this is going to have no effect either, what we're doing here.
The people of Missouri, through their representatives, can stand up today to the federal government and say, live within your means.
I agree. Now let me ask you this. Do you think there's any people out there legitimately that are unemployed and could use the extension of the benefits?
Legitimately can use the extension of
the
benefits?
I'm saying people out there that have sought employment, they can't find it, and they need an extension of the benefits.
You know, Senator, I make $35,000 a year.
$35,900.
All right. If you want to
not count your per diem and your mileage check.
If you want to cut me a check for $500, I could surely use it. Okay, I'm sure I could find something to use it on, Senator. Okay. Why aren't we redistributing?
So how many jobs are available out there? Senator, you and I agree about the egregious spending from Washington. All I'm trying to get at is, you know, that's like...
So 99
I'm saying, is this the right method to get across to the federal government that they're spending wrongly?
Is 99 weeks enough? What if the senator from Johnson comes back next week?
What I want to ask you is how many jobs are available out there for Missourians who are unemployed? Where are they?
Well, let's move on to some of this legislation that helps create jobs in Missouri.
We've done it. We're going to eliminate the franchise tax. I want to implement a right to work law here in Missouri, which I think in due time would create more jobs. Where are you on that piece of legislation?
You know, Senator, where I am. I don't support the right to work law because of my constituents and the people that I represent in the first district. And those people aren't clamoring for me to extend the unemployment benefits. I've got not one call, Senator, not one call to say spend the federal money that's putting us further and further into debt.
Right, and so they know that we send it back. It gets distributed to another state. They spend it, and you and I, our children and grandchildren, are going to continue to pay for those dollars that are spent somewhere else.
I can't speak for all the constituents, your constituents from Stoddard County. I'll speak just for the constituents from the first. And these are hardworking people that play by the rules.
I know they are, and I appreciate them.
You know, that work hard every day, that pay their taxes. And I can tell you, Senator, I'm not getting calls from my district that say, we want you to extend these benefits.
Right, and I appreciate that. My question to you is this the best way to get our message across to Washington?
This is one way, Senator. There'll be numerous others.
What I'm saying is this. I don't know how many jobs are available out there to those that are unemployed. By denying this, are you certain that not one person might not get the opportunity to continue to put bread on the table, to help pay the utility bills, to give them additional time to find a job? I mean...
Hey, Senator, that sounds very compassionate, okay? And I'm sorry that, you know, my position...
Sure.
Doesn't sound as compassionate.
No, I'm not saying you're not compassionate. This has got nothing to do about emotion, about compassion or a lack of compassion. I just want facts.
Right here before God and the media, all right? 99 weeks is too much. It's too long.
Yeah.
Enough.
It could be. I don't know. That's the only question that I'm asking of you. Is this the most effective way? And so if we don't want this $81 million, and, you know, I'm not saying we do or we don't, but I'm saying, so what federal money do you not want? So then do we no longer take Missouri Health Net funding from Washington?
That's a good question.
I mean, where does it stop? I mean,
in the chamber, Senator, I don't know if you were in the chamber, but I did have that conversation with the senator from Buchanan. And I think that in the construct of our budget and the way that we work with the federal government on programs that, for the most part, they created out of acting outside of Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution, that I believe we're going to have to wean ourselves off of some of those programs over time. So is it hypocritical for me to say that we shouldn't take one-time monies from the federal government, these stimulus monies, the stabilization monies, and this education pot that's coming down was $189 million. You know, I think that we have to say enough is enough, and we have to stop someplace, okay? As far as these other programs where we have the federal spending within our Missouri budget, it's going to take a little bit more time to wean ourselves off that money.
Sure, and I understand that. And you and I ideologically, philosophically agree. I mean, as chairman of the Appropriations Committee last year, I cut $513 million out of the state's budget, along with the help of you and others that were on that Appropriations Committee. So I agree with fiscal responsibility to the highest degree. But as we move forward, I just want to make certain that we've thought these things out in good detail so that we're not actually doing things that aren't prudent and that are not well thought out and analyzed. That's my only request of you and each member of this body. And these are trying and challenging times, and I'm willing to do what we need to do to get our state in the right kind of fiscal health that it needs to be in. But in saying that, I know that in D.C., they don't listen to a lot of what we say here in Jefferson City. And so I just want to make certain that we're denying this. Are we starting something that we don't want to do? Do we want to take the time to phase this stuff out? You know, those are questions that I want asked. So thank you, Senator.
I appreciate it, Senator. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. I ask this bill be laid on the informal calendar.
The bill will be laid on the informal calendar with the amendment pending. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Madam President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection on the informal calendar, Senate Bill 101.
Senate bills for perfection, informal calendar, Senate Bill 101. Senator from Polk.
President, I make a motion to bring Senate Bill 101 off the informal calendar for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Polk. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate Bill number 101 be taken up for perfection.
Senator, do you desire to make a motion on the Senate committee amendment?
I do.
State your motion.
Okay, I move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Amendment Number 1.
The Senator from Polk has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate Bill Number 101. Does any senator desire to be heard on that pending motion? Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you seek recognition? Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, I just wanted you to kind of maybe, if you don't mind, could you kind of explain the amendment in your underlying bill?
I would be glad to. The two main items in the amendment is allowing a homeowner to be able to put a sign in their yard, and the second thing in the amendment was more of a technical change to make it with current Missouri law, and really it refers to the free look period where before you sign a contract, you get out of a contract.
Okay,
and things
move at such lightning speed in the Senate.
Pardon me?
Things move at such lightning speed in the Senate, and you probably noticed this, that I know we went off the discussion of federalism, and we've switched to your bill. What does your underlying bill do?
My underlying bill?
Yes.
The underlying bill would have to do with storm chasers or people, contractors working on areas where there's been catastrophic damage to tornadoes, wind, or rain.
Okay. And what do you do in the underlying bill?
The underlying bill would make it basically give a homeowner, I feel like it's a consumer protection bill, basically where you'd give a homeowner a certain period of time where they would, if they signed a contract with somebody, and for example, if the insurance company come in and they signed a contract with somebody that give them an estimate, let's say it was $10,000 for the repair on the roof and so forth, and then the insurance company comes in and says, hey, we're only paying $7,000 of that.
Okay.
That would give them time to get the information and then go back to the people that signed that contract.
Okay, and then your amendment adds a signage doing what?
In the original bill, there was where you could we had it where you couldn't put a sign in the yard, and basically it's where now you allow it to put a sign in the yard. If you want to put it in, if a contractor's doing your job and you want to put their sign in,
so this is one of those advertisement signs you see from the contractor,
yeah,
saying these, you know, ABC company did windows or
CBS. And it would be up to the homeowners to their discretion. I just left it out in the first one.
Okay, so you're defining the consumer protection to where the contractor and the consumer have to kind of agree to what's going to happen?
Correct.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that, Senator, and I know, you know, we went to this bill, and I was so engaged in the discussion of the Commerce Clause that I was overwhelmed and distracted, and I wanted to get back to your solution to a real-world problem.
I noticed when I walked by one time you was on the edge of your seat during that. I do remember that.
So we appreciate getting on your ship and heading us back to the coast of reality. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Wire the senator from Polk.
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
You know how I remember where you're from?
Pardon me, Senator.
Do you know how I remember what county you're from? I served, one of my good colleagues over in the House was from Polk, and that county always is fond memories of that individual, so that's how I make sure. You from Halfway?
Must be the Baptist church or Halfway.
No, are you, Halfway is in Polk.
That's correct.
Are you from Halfway?
No.
Okay. I wasn't being facetious at all. The reason I wanted to get up and inquire on this issue is this is an issue that the insurance companies had worked, because they are the ones that kind of brought, from the hearing that I sat in, they're the ones that kind of brought the issue forefront, that a lot of unscrupulous contractors were getting in, not doing a good job, and the insurance companies are paying at the end product.
Correct.
The consumer, who we all want to take care of, is the one holding the trick bag. So I wanted you to elaborate a little bit on that, of how that was brought forth in committee, so they understand why we're going this route.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is that all right?
Sure. Sure. And let me go, the question, go ahead and tell me your question again. I am having a hard time hearing you, Senator. So. Oh.
The insurance industry was one of the groups that was supportive and brought this issue to the forefront due to some of the unscrupulous contractors. So could you share with me, so some of the other senators can hear, why the insurance companies brought this forth, this issue? That's all I'm asking
for. Well, first of all, it's basically modeled after Minnesota law. Minnesota did this, the Attorney General's office did this. on the home repair, the scam industry of that is on the top five on the Attorney General's list as far as complaints goes. It was one of the driving factors of that. That actually was part of why the bill was introduced.
And the insurance industry was one of the ones that brought it to the forefront. Trying to make sure I'm going to get a good rating with the insurance industry after all these years I have badgered them on the Senate floor, that I agree with their pursuit in this legislation.
Good. I hope you do.
I'm trying to help you here, and you just don't want to elaborate too
much. Well, you know, it's the first time in a big arena for me, so I appreciate all the help I can
I just
get.
Wanted to make sure that the body understood why this was beneficial. It wasn't just because a lot of times you get contractors fighting contractors saying we're on unlevel playing fields, and here you got a consumer protection bill, which you said the AG from Minnesota started, but also the insurance industry, because they're the ones paying out and the repair does not get accomplished. So it is generic legislation that has benefited the consumer. I just wanted to get that view as we speak.
I think at the end of the day, I think this is truly for consumers and for the homeowners.
I'm with you. I just wanted to bring that up. I think the senator from Franklin had something he wanted to do. So I'm done with my inquiry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator from the 26th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President. With unanimous consent of the body, I would like to introduce some very special guests, if I could.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you. Today we have a very special group with us this morning, and I'd like to recognize these students and teachers from the Washington School District and St. Francis Borgia, who are from the great city of Washington. Everybody knows where Washington is, I trust.
In Franklin County.
And they've won the My Favorite Teacher Essay Contest. We've got Aaron, and I appreciate these names because they're all difficult to pronounce, just like mine. And so I may purposely butcher these just so that you know how I feel all the time. We have Aaron Gabe, fifth grade teacher from the South Point Elementary School in the essay by Savannah Christian. We've got Kristen Banicki, third grade teacher from fifth elementary school on the essay by Brent Crisman. We've got Penny Heisel, fourth grade teacher from the South Point Elementary School on the essay by Rodolfo Flotis. And we have Rita Nikonowitz. I didn't even come close on that, did I? Seventh grade teacher from St. Francis Borgia on the essay by Kate Garza. And not only do we have them, but we have family members from Washington that have joined us in the upper gallery. And so if they and their family members would stand, I'd like to ask the Senate to make them feel welcome.
Would the Senate please welcome the guests of the Senator from the 26th to the Missouri Senate? Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion from the senator from Polk? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized to close on your pending amendment.
Thank you, Madam President. I renew my motion.
Senator has renewed his motion for adoption of Senate Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate Bill Number 1. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Madam President. A lot of things in the bill we've done discussed, but the main portion in the bill I want to do is basically it gives the homeowner 5 days once their insurance comes back to them and reports what the damage is or their estimate of it. It gives them 5 days to get out of the contract is what it would do there after they get that information on it. Some of the other things that are in there we pretty well talked about, I think, through the amendment process. On that, and basically I just want to stress that this seems to be a more of a problem that affects seniors in the state when we have the catastrophic type damages through wind and hail storms. And with that, Madam President, I now move that Senate Bill 101 as amended be declared perfected and ordered printed.
Does any senator desire to be heard on the pending motion for perfection of Senate Bill number 101? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I renew my motion.
Senator has renewed his motion for perfection of Senate Bill number 101. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill number 101 is perfected and will be ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
You have a guess.
Senator from Cole, are you seeking recognition?
Thank you, Madam President. I request unanimous consent for introduction of a very special guest.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
To my left and to your right, I'd like to welcome Christine Kleindienst. She is our new Recorder of Deeds from Callaway County. She worked very hard this year to get to where she is. We're all very proud of her in Callaway County. And she's accompanied by Ken Dillon, the farmer recorder. So I'd like the Senate to make them feel welcome.
Would the Missouri Senate please welcome the guest of the Senator from Cole. Senator from the 2nd, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I seek unanimous consent to introduce special guest.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Madam President. Follow up on the good senator from Cole. On my left, your right, I do have the Recorder of Deeds from Lincoln County up today, Dottie Crenshaw. If you'd please welcome her to the state capitol.
Would the Missouri Senate please welcome the guest of the senator from the 2nd to the Missouri Senate? Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Would you ask the Secretary of the Senate if there are messages from the governor? And if there are, I would ask for a waiver of the reading and that they be printed in the journal.
Madam Secretary, do we have messages? We do indeed have messages, and they will be printed in the journal. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Madam President. Would you please refer those to the Gubernatorial Appointments Committee?
They will be so referred. Thank you, Senator. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Senator from the 23rd, do you have a report?
Madam President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Send the report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill 38, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Bill 77 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Bill 83 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 166 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Senate Bill 180 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Further reports of standing committees. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Without objection, the Senate go to the order of business of announcements, and I would ask if you would recognize me for an announcement. Please.
Senator from 23rd, you're recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Madam President. Just as a reminder, today is the last day to file new bills. I will go to the order of business of introduction of bills when we come back and this afternoon. And I will be making a recess motion to resume our day at 3 p.m. So coming back into session at 3 p.m.
Order of business is announcements, and the presiding officer does have an announcement that the Senate Committee on Health, Mental Health, Seniors, and Families will continue its meeting immediately on morning recess of the Senate in SCR 2. There's a possible executive session. Further announcements, Senator from the 2nd.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to announce that the Small Business Insurance and Industry Committee will be meeting at noon at Senate Committee Room Number 1.
Announcements. Seeing no further announcements, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate stand in recess until 3 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from the 23rd. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand in recess until 3 o'clock p.m. today.